Hello and welcome back to Impacting Your World. I'm Apostle Debbie Viggs. Let us get started this morning with our Colossians prayers, Colossians 1, 9 through 14. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning to thank you and to give you praise. We thank you for this privilege of allowing us to sit at your feet once again. Thank you, Father, for the many blessings that you've blessed us with. Thank you that you daily load us with benefits. We thank you, Lord God, that your mercies are new every morning. We give you praise because you are a faithful God. There's no one like you, O Lord God, and we thank you, Father, for all that you do. This morning, Lord, as we pray these Colossians prayers, we ask that you'll the Holy Spirit will pray alongside us. From the day that we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray and to make a special request for ourselves, asking that we may be filled with a full, deeper, and clear knowledge of your will in all spiritual wisdom and comprehensive insight into the ways and purposes of you, Lord God, and in understanding and discernment of spiritual things. I pray that we may walk and live and conduct ourselves in a manner worthy of you, Lord, fully pleasing to you and desiring to please you in all things, bearing fruit in every good work and steadily growing and increasing in and by the knowledge of you, Lord God, with fuller, deeper, and clearer insight, acquaintance, and recognition. I pray that we may be invigorated and strengthened with all power according to the might of your glory to exercise every kind of endurance and patience, perseverance, and forbearance with joy. I give thanks to you, Father, because you have qualified and made us fit to share the portion which is the inheritance of the saints, God's holy people, in the light. And I thank you, Father, that you have delivered and drawn us to yourself out of the control and the dominion of darkness, and you have transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of your love, in whom we have our redemption through his blood and the forgiveness of our sins. We thank you for all this, and I give you praise in the mighty name of Jesus. With thanksgiving, we have prayed. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise God. We've been talking about the power, the supernatural power in the Word of God. And the Word of God has so much power to change any negative situation or any situation, be that as it may, for us, as long as we know how to use the Word, we know how to apply the Word, or we understand the Word. And I believe that in a lot of situations when people are faced with impossible looking situations. People are faced with just different storms of life. The reason they don't first run to the Word is mainly because they don't understand what the Word contains and how much power the Word has to change the situations. A lot of times people will panic, others will get depressed or, have fear when something, when they receive, bad news or negative news. When they encounter difficult situations, and mostly people will say, well, I don't know what to do. Well, one thing about Jesus, he always knew what to do, and we're told in the Word of God that he was the Word. And as long as we are in the Word of God, as long as we connect to the Word of God and we actually understand the Word of God, we will not be in a position as Christians of saying, I don't know what to do. We will always be in a position of knowing what to do whenever we are faced with any type of situation, be whatever it may be. We will always know what to do. And so yesterday we started looking at what is in the Word of God? What does the Word contain? And I think it's so important. It may seem basic to some, who've been, seasoned Christians, but I'll tell you, this is important stuff for many, because a lot of times you'll find people wondering, looking for prayers here and there. Pray for me for this, pray for me for that, all because they don't fully understand that, it's not always about just pray for me for this or pray for me for that. A lot of times, whatever situation you encounter, the answer is in the Word. So it's a matter of getting into the Word, finding that passage or account or scripture that speaks to that situation, taking that word, meditating upon it, and then praying. Most times we feel, if you can just pray for this situation right now, then things will turn around. But it's also because, like I said, a lot of people don't understand what the Word is, or what, that the Word has enough power to change situations around us. God gave us this Word not only for it to be our guide in life, but also for as a weapon against the strategies of the enemy. The Word of God is a weapon that we can use. That's why, you know, when the Bible talks about, you know, he sent his word and the word healed them. You see, the word has enough power to heal. The word has enough power to destroy whatever the enemy, whatever plans of the enemy against you, to destroy whatever weapons the enemy is using to come against you. So it's important for us to understand the word and use this weapon that the Lord has given us. Amen. So not only does it have enough power to heal, but it has enough power to transform. The word of God can transform your life totally. The word of God can, you know, bring about supernatural results that you didn't even expect. The word of God can turn around any negative situation, things that were bad, really bad, and, you know, bring it, turn it around to something that, you know, you wouldn't even, you know, have believed had you not been in the word. The word of God can make, you know, can cause any impossible looking situation to turn. So I started off yesterday by sharing with you some of the things that are in the word. I want to go back to the first thing that I started to say, what is it that makes the word so unique? And I think if we can understand this or cover this foundation or this basics, then we will, you know, understand fully what it is or why it's so important for us to be in the word, why it's so important for us to study the word of God and to know what the word, you know, what God has given us in his word for us to use against, you know, the storms of life. So if we go to John chapter 6 and verse 63, the Bible says in John 6 and verse 63, it is the Spirit who gives life. He is the life giver. The flesh conveys no benefit whatever. There is no profit in it. The words or truths that I have been speaking to you are spirit and life. So this is Jesus speaking. Jesus is telling us that the words that he has been speaking to us, the word that he has spoken to us, are spirit and life. They carry this word of God. It carries the Spirit of God, and it is also life. So it not only does it carry the Spirit and life, but it is designed for our supernatural quickening. Amen. It is the Spirit who gives life. In King James, it says it is the Spirit that quickeneth. So it carries, you know, the word is designed for our supernatural quickening. It brings back to life everything that is dying or things that are already dead. Okay, that's what this means here when he says it is the Spirit who gives life. So whatever may seem dead in your situation, in your life, you know, the word of God can bring it back to life. It can, you know, cause whatever is dead to come back to life. He is the life giver. The flesh conveys no benefit. So the Spirit of God connotes the power of God. And the Bible, we know that in the book of Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, Jesus spoke when he was telling his disciples not to leave. He told them to tarry in Jerusalem and to wait upon the gift that, you know, was promised, or the promise. We know it as the gift or the promise from the Father. And he said to them in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, but you shall receive power, ability, efficiency, and might. That's what my Bible says in Amplified, that power there is ability, efficiency, and might. When the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends, the very bounds of the earth. So without this power, we can't be effective witnesses for Jesus Christ. And so he tells the disciples in the book of Luke chapter 24, we'll see that in verse 49, he tells them to wait. He says, tarry ye, you know, he tells them to tarry in Jerusalem until they are endued with this power from on high. Amen. My Bible says, you know, in Luke 24, verse 49, and behold, I will send forth upon you what my Father has promised, but remain in the city, Jerusalem, until you are clothed with power from on high. So you need to be clothed with power from on high. Also, we know that when Peter was speaking in the house of Cornelius in the book of Acts chapter 10 and verse 44, the Bible says that the Holy Ghost fell on all of them that heard the word of God. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell on all those who were listening to the message, those who were listening to the word of God. Now, all these references show that God's word is the carrier of his power. You know, so, you know, it's just like when, what can I use? Mosquitoes, rather, or whatever, a bee or a mosquito, when it stings you, you know, well, for mosquitoes carry, you know, parasites, malarial parasites, that I know, you know, so you never wanted to have mosquitoes around you. That's why, you know, when you live in Africa where mosquitoes are a lot, you want to have either a mosquito net or you have, you know, some mosquito spray that you spray because you don't want, you know, those mosquitoes to come and bite you. Why? Because they carry malarial parasites. Well, it's just the same way. The word of God, when the word of God stings you or when the word of God gets into you, you know, power is released in your life. And so, you know, most times when people read the Bible, they don't read it for the word to get into them. They don't read it for, you know, they read it for quantity's sake, but they don't read it for quality. They don't digest the word. They don't allow themselves to, you know, take on that word, chew on it and chew on it until, you know, it's digested into bite sizes that they can understand. Well, because of that, it doesn't release any power. So when you read it, you know, oh, I've just read my Bible, I've gone through my Bible reading plan, and that's it. There's no change. But, you know, when you read the Bible, there's always got to be change. And especially when you study the word of God, there's always going to be change. There's never a time that you should study the word of God and not see change in your life. I mean, it means that you're not doing it right, or you're not reading. You're just reading to read, like you're reading a novel. With the word of God, it's not a novel. The word of God carries the power of God. So each time you open it, whatever verse you're reading, whatever chapter you're reading, when you are done, there should be change in your life. I mean, significant change, not just, you know, I've read the Bible and I'll read it again tomorrow and I'm expecting God to change my situation next month. No way. That same minute, that same time that you're reading, things should begin to change in your life. The Bible tells us that as many as received him, meaning the Holy Spirit, to them gave he power. Okay, as many as received the Holy Spirit, to them gave he power. In verse 1 of John chapter 1, we are told that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So we know that Jesus is the Word. That means as many as received the Word of God, as many as received Jesus, they are given power. And no wonder Apostle Paul, in the book of Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, he said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Amplified version says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, the good news of Christ, for it is God's power working into salvation, or working unto salvation, for deliverance from eternal death to everyone who believes, with a personal trust and a confident surrender and firm reliance, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And so Apostle Paul says it is the power of God, you know, God's power working unto salvation. That word salvation means nothing missing, nothing broken. It's soteria, it's deliverance. It's so many different things. Healing, all that is contained in the word salvation. Amen. So God's word communicates God's power, which in turn guarantees salvation. And salvation means a change of position for the better. You know, it's a change of position for the better. So God's word communicates God's power, which guarantees our salvation. It guarantees our rescue. It guarantees our escape, our deliverance, and our transformation. Amen. So God's word is God's power in print form, and it is gathered by his spirit. If you go to the book of Isaiah chapter 34, Isaiah chapter 34, let me get to Isaiah 34. Isaiah 34 says in verse 16, Isaiah 34, 16 says, "Seek out of the book of the Lord and read. Not one of these details of prophecy shall fail. None shall want and lack her mate in fulfillment. For the mouth of the Lord has commanded, and his spirit has gathered them." Amen. So the word of God is gathered by his spirit, you know, and his spirit has gathered them. Amen. Another place to look at is, let's go to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, and we will read 2 Timothy chapter 3. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, we find something similar. In verse 16, 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 says, "Every scripture is God-breathed, given by his inspiration, and profitable for instruction, for reproof and conviction of sin, for correction of error and discipline in obedience, and for training in righteousness, in holy living, in conformity to God's will, in thought, purpose, and action." So this is what the word of God is supposed to do for us, or this is what it does for us. So therefore, when you take in the word of God, when you, you know, digest this word of God, when you seek out the word, when you study the word, not just read like you're reading a novel, when you, you know, fully take in that word of God or eat this spiritual food, the word that you eat, which is, you know, which you eat and digest, which is his spirit, by extension, is his power. So you're taking in the power of God unto yourself. You're taking in power to come against whatever, you know, the enemy is, you know, bringing against you. God says it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit. So we know that the spirit of God is in the word of God. This word is spirit and it is life. This is what Jesus tells us. So we know for a fact that it carries the power of God. Now let's go to 2 Peter and chapter 1. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4, we are told, "By means of these, he has bestowed on us his precious and exceedingly great promises, so that through them you may escape by flight from the moral decay, rottenness, and corruption that is in the world because of the covetousness, the lust, and greed, and become sharers, partakers of the divine nature." Amen. So God's word not only carries power, but God's word carries life and nature, so that we can be partakers of God's divine nature. So every scripture, every word that you read from the Bible is pregnant with divine nature. The more scriptures you meditate upon and, you know, take in and digest, therefore the more of his divine nature you begin to possess. You see, the word of God inoculates us with the nature of God. It not only does it inoculate us with the nature of God, but it also inoculates us with his abilities, his capabilities and capacities. It connects us to his divinity. That is what makes the difference between, you know, that's what makes the difference between the Bible and any regular book that you may read out there. That's what makes the difference between the Bible and a chemistry or psychology book. Amen. Whereas all these are made up of mere letters and are designed to only inform you Well, the Bible is made up of wonders, and the Bible is packaged to transform our lives. The Bible is packaged to change our positions, you know, to change us from one level and to take us from one level to the next level that God has called us to. You know, man is not who will promote you. The Bible is what, you know, the Word of God is what brings promotion. The Bible tells us that promotion comes from God. But when we are in the Word, when we study the Word, when we take in this Word of God, it causes, you know, change in our lives. It changes our position, it transforms us, and it changes our levels. Let's go to the book of John, the Gospel of John, chapter 10. In the Gospel of John, chapter 10, we find the Bible says in verse 34 and verse 35, it says, Jesus answered, "Is it not written in your law, I said, you are gods." In King James, it says, "Ye are gods, you are gods." In Psalm 82, verse 6. So men are called gods with a small g by the law, men to whom God's message came, and the scripture cannot be set aside or canceled or broken or annulled. The coming in of God, of the Word of God into your life begins the process of transforming your humanity into divinity by upgrading and translating you. The Bible says that we have been translated from the kingdom of darkness into that of His own dear Son. This is one of the lines that we actually pray in the Colossians prayers, where we say that God has delivered and drawn us to Himself out of the control and the dominion of darkness, and He has transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have our redemption. Amen. So Colossians 1:13 tells us that. Well, God's word is what enhances the reality of that transaction. Something changes when God's word comes or enters into you. And this is why Jesus said, "The words that I have spoken to you, they are spirit and they are life." The reason why He said they are spirit is because they communicate His power, and they are life because they communicate His nature. And so the Bible describes the Word of God as a glass. In the book of James, chapter 1, let's go to James chapter 1, James chapter 1, and verse 23 through 25. James 1, verse 23 to 25, it says, "For if anyone only listens to the word without obeying it and being a doer of it, he is like a man who looks carefully at his own natural face in a mirror, for he thoughtfully observes himself and then goes off and promptly forgets what he was like." Verse 25, "But he who looks carefully into the faultless law, the law of liberty, and is faithful to it and perseveres in looking into it, being not a heedless listener who forgets, but an active doer who obeys, he shall be blessed in his doing, his life of obedience." Amen. So this is talking about the Word of God. It's telling us really that if we are just like, you know, when you read the Bible and you just read it like, just like a novel, you walk away from it and, you know, you don't take time to meditate what you have studied in the Word or what you have read. Well, he says that James here is saying that it's like, you know, it starts by saying, "For if anyone listens to the Word without obeying it and being a doer of it, he's like a man who looks carefully at his own natural face in the mirror." So you can go look at yourself in the mirror and you walk away and you forget what you looked like when you looked at the mirror. It's like that's what James likens listening to the word and not obeying it, listening or reading the word and then walking away from it and not knowing what you need to do or obeying that word. He says because this person thoughtfully observes himself and then goes off and promptly forgets what he was like. And that's what it is. We can look at the word and then we forget what the word is saying. Really, we're supposed to meditate on this word. When you study the word in the mornings before you leave your house, it should be on your mind. What you've studied should be on your mind throughout the day. You're thinking on it, pondering it. You know, that's meditation. You're meditating upon that word, pondering it. How does it apply to my life? What I've just studied, how does that apply to me? You know, what you're listening to when you listen to the word of God. It's not, oh, wow, the word is good, and then you walk off. No. How does this word apply? How can I take these principles and apply them to my life in order to change? Or there's a situation in my life and this word is speaking to this situation in my life. How can I take this word and begin to apply it to my life so that I can see change, so that it can bring about change? Because the word of God does change situations. It transforms. Amen. So we are told that, you know, this is the word of God is as a glass. Also in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, 2 Corinthians and chapter 3 in verse 18, the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians verse 18, it says, and all of us with an unveiled face, because we continued to behold in the word of God as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are constantly being transfigured into his very own image in ever increasing splendor, and from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. So that means that each time that we are in the word of God, each time we take in the word of God, each time we are, you know, meditating upon the word of God, we are transformed, or we are changed from glory to glory. Not when you're just reading. Reading is different. Reading, James said, is like standing in the mirror, looking at yourself, and then walking away, and you forget, you know, what you looked like when you stood in the mirror. That's reading. But when you study the word of God, when you take it in and through meditation, when you, focus on the word, when you literally imbibe the word of God, you're transformed, and you're changed from glory to glory into the same image and unto the fullness of the status of Jesus Christ. Therefore, the more of his word that you take in, that you eat, the more of the word that you digest and you meditate upon, the more of his nature you begin to manifest. And this is what makes us a sign and a wonder to our world. The Bible tells us that we have been made a sign and a wonder to the world. And so nothing is going to change if all you do is just read and then you walk away and you forget. But if you take the time to study the word of God, you take the time to meditate upon what you have studied. You know, each chapter when you read, it may not be the whole chapter that speaks to you. Maybe there's a verse that speaks to you. Take that verse, meditate upon it, chew on it and chew on it. How does this word apply to me? This passage that I have read, how does it apply to my life? How can I take what I've just studied and apply it to my situation, you know, to this situation that I'm, you know, dealing with? And from there, now you can formulate a prayer as you go before the Lord and present your request to the Lord. You know, you're not just going to go to the Lord with nothing, but you have evidence. Well, Lord, as I studied this word, and this is what you did in this situation for these people or for this person, Lord, I'm coming before you with my situation in a similar manner, and I take this word and I apply it to my situation, and I'm trusting you, Lord, that this word will turn around this negative situation in my life. And so you'll find that every truth of the word of God that you discover and engage in your life enhances the life of God in you. You'll begin to see things turning around. You'll begin to see things changing, you know, for the better for you. And I'm telling you, you'll begin to walk in that supernatural that you desire to walk in. Miracles will be a thing of, you know, every day for you. It's not something that you expect only when you have a situation. Miracles will begin to be the norm, because that's what the word of God does. It presents miracles in our lives every single day. And so we'll continue tomorrow by God's grace, continue sharing on what else the word can do for you and I. I pray that you are blessed today by this message, and I look forward to speaking to you tomorrow morning by his grace. Be blessed. Bye-bye.